Welcome to Growth Marketing Today, where marketers, designers, and product owners level up their growth marketing chops from experts in today's top startups. Here's your host, Ramley John.
Welcome to episode 138 of Growth Marketing Today. Today, I have Andy Guttormson. He is the co-founder of Circle. Now, there's never been a more relevant time to learn how to build an online community than now. Personally, I'm part of several dozen Slack and Facebook groups, and I gotta tell you, it's not great. The problem is that these platforms were not designed for building community. That's where Circle.so, the modern platform for creators, come in. Now, before their public launch, Circle got creators on their beta platform, including Pat Flynn at SPI Pro, Tiago Forte at Building a Second Brain, David Perel at Rite of Passage. Now, these folks are amazing creators. I'm also personally part of Corey Haynes' swipe file community that's built on Circle. I can tell you that the difference between Circle and Slack is night and day. In this episode, I talked to Andy, the co-founder of Circle, about the future of online communities. In episode 138, you'll learn first how building an online community can support and accelerate your growth and marketing efforts. Second, common mistakes to avoid when building an online community. And third, the future of online communities. Now, before we jump in, I actually put together all the actionable tips that Andy shared in this episode in a one-page PDF. Why take notes about this podcast episode when you can just steal mine? You can go to growtoday.fm/138 to get it now or find the link in the description. You have to hurry because when I publish next week's episode, I take this week's cheat sheet away. I also want to thank those who made this episode possible. Now, these folks help cover the cost of hosting and marketing tools so I can focus on getting amazing experts that you and I can learn from. Thanks to Ahrefs Webmaster Tool. Find the top keywords you rank for, track new organic keywords, get more in-depth backlink data, and perform a site audit, all for free using Ahrefs Webmaster Tool. You can sign up for free today at growtoday.fm/Ahrefs. That's Ahrefs. Or find that link in the description of the show. Enough about this, let's jump into my chat with Andy. Hey everybody, I'm excited to chat with Andy. He is one of the co-founders of Circle, and previously he was working at Teachable, which is this platform for creators to create courses. How's it going, Andy? How are things with you this afternoon?
Things are going really well. Thanks for having me on. I'm excited.
Same here. And before we talk about growth, community, and marketing, you know, one of the things your favorite destination you said was Hawaii. Like, where in Hawaii? Like, there's so many things to do there, but I'm curious, like, when, I'm guessing before all this went down, but like, where in Hawaii and what did you find most memorable there?
Yeah, so went for the first time. I've only been there a few times, but I went for the first time probably like 7 or 8 years ago. And I remember just being on Kauai. And it was so lush and it was like, it's really a jungle, right? And then there are these beaches where you can't even like get to them. You have to take like a boat to get to them. And I just remember being like, man, you know, I can't believe I went my entire life. I didn't know what this place was like. And yeah, so I went back now a few times. I feel really fortunate that I got to go, but I just was blown away. So it has like a special place for me.
I can imagine. Yeah, exactly where I had my honeymoon with my wife 2 years ago. We were in Maui. And yeah, it was just something else. If I could move there, I could. But I imagine it's expensive and Wi-Fi isn't probably so great in those islands, I can imagine.
By the way, everybody there does move a little bit slower. Everybody's a little nicer. Yeah. Everybody's a little bit more relaxed. Like, you know, I haven't been to Toronto in probably 15 years. I can tell you in New York, though, things are a little bit different. Everybody's like moving a little bit quicker.
It's funny you say that. I find Toronto is where Toronto's like often compared as the little brother of New York. And even here, compared New York to like Hawaii, man, yeah, you're right. Like people just chill. Like there's the Hawaii time where like people come late. Imagine coming late to one of your meetings and people are like, what's up with you, Andy? Why are you coming late to the meeting? They're exactly totally normal.
Yeah, yeah.
I want to shift gears then. Let's talk about Circle. Like, how, you know, can you tell my listeners and I your journey with getting to starting Circle?
Yeah. Well, you know, Circle, we started about a year ago. It is a, it's really like a platform that lets you run these kind of like beautiful premium white labeled community experiences online where it's all your brand, it's your people. So a lot of folks that use us, it could be somebody who has like a free newsletter or a blog, and they've built an audience, and then they want to create like a membership experience to bring the people in their audience with each other. It could be course creators who want to have people and connect the people, like their students, with each other. It could be people that are like, one example would be The Wing. The Wing is a women's co-working space. They have like an online membership experience, right? Teachable itself, the course platform, all of their course creators, they have like a product-driven community, right? And so we have a community platform, but it all started with actually our time at Teachable. Teachable is an online course platform, 40, 50,000 customers, all course creators. And my co-founders and I, we had an amazing experience there where, you know, we were there for about 5 years, and, you know, Teachable was acquired probably about 6, 7, 8 months ago. And we were trying to figure out, you know, what's next around that time. We knew it was going to be acquired, you know, 6 months before that. And so one of the things we saw was, if you look at all the top creators on the platform that were on Teachable, you know, Teachable, amazing product, but very content focused. It's all about the content, gating content. We noticed that the best instructors, they had this community component that went alongside the courses. The ones that were making the most money, the ones that were getting the best student outcomes. The problem though, was that they'd have the community over in like a Facebook group, or they'd have like a Slack community. And the community was like in a different place than the content. And so what we thought is like, what if we could build this really beautifully designed community platform where you could own your community, and it could integrate with your other tools, like your website, your course platform, whatever you needed to integrate with. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I really like that journey. That was one of my questions. Is like, I do find the same thing where course creators end up building the community, and Facebook communities is, you know, you are on Facebook to look at dog pictures or food pictures. You're not there to, you know, you're not in the mindset of like networking. And is that what you found, where like those course creators were like, you know, they're not exactly happy with where their community is being built at that point?
Yeah. So if you kind of put yourself in the shoes of the creator, and by the way, tons of different community tools out there. And some are really good at certain things and serve all different types of customers, right? We built Circle specifically for creators. It turns out a lot of our customers are brands. So like Gumroad uses us for their community. Substack uses us. MemberStack, MemberSpace, a lot of these other like product tools, but mostly it's creators, right? But what if you put yourself in the creator's shoes, and I'm selling this like really high-end like course experience or coaching experience, and it's premium. How does it look if the community part is like a Facebook group with like ads for a bunch of random stuff on the side, and it's like next to your other weird groups, and like, it's not this premium experience.
It's not. Yeah. That really, yeah, you're right. It makes sense. Like I talked about like, yeah, you're there on Facebook. It's not a premium experience, right? It's there for you to see ads, to see other things. And it's interesting that you mentioned other brands are using Circle as well for this. I'm curious as well, you know, you're talking about content and community being in a separate place. Is that where you see a Circle going, where like course creator can also build out their content and manage the community within Circle? Or is that something that your team is doubling down right now on community and not really thinking about like, well, maybe there's some creators who want to build their courses out within Circle?
Yeah. So we're not specifically thinking much about courses, but certainly like including content inside, like next to your community, all inside of Circle, that's something that's really important to us. So, you know, as an example, when we think about like content experiences that are community first, right? Imagine like having your entire community, all the folks in it, all vote on like, okay, we'd love to hear from this like expert, right? And then the community organizer going out and getting in touch with that expert, bring them for a live Q&A, like video session, real time. That's one version of content there. And we are building a bunch of live video functionality that will live right inside of Circle. But then, you know, you can take that, you can repurpose it. And all of a sudden that's like this living thing inside of the community that people can then, you know, go and consume later. Even if they join the community 7 months down the road after it's been live. So we do really value content, but it's like a community, like human-centered, people-first version of these like content experiences.
I feel like we're already starting to get there about, you know, you're one of the co-founders of Circle. I'm guessing you have some opinion or a take on what community is. What is community and why is it so, you know, important, especially with what's happening with, you know, what's happening with the pandemic and people being so maybe feeling isolated at home?
Yeah. Well, it's a really widely used word right now. And a lot of people say like it's overused. I don't know if it's necessarily overused. Maybe it is, but I think it's misunderstood. So like one thing is that a lot of people, they might build like a big email newsletter and call that their community, but that's not their community. It's just an audience and they have like a relationship with each of those people in some way or another. A community is more about like the people in your audience getting value from each other, connecting with each other. It's about belonging. And that can happen in a group of 15 people, hopping on a Zoom call once a week just to check in, see how things are going. It can happen in real life if you get together with a bunch of people that are all kind of like working on some shared goal together, if there's something that connects them together, right? So community to me is when there's some type of belonging, your people are coming together to exchange value with each other.
That makes a lot of sense.
And by the way, that one thing I just want to mention is like the pandemic just kind of like pulled a lot of this stuff forward where like now people, they used to do a lot of offline stuff and you know, you'd have like a coach that has this offline community. Now what they're realizing is like, oh, well, I've been forced to come online and build this business online. And what they're going to realize is like, I used to have 20 clients. Now I can be creating the same amount of content and I could have 2,000 clients and they'll probably go back to like doing stuff in real life because like the world needs that and it's fun. There's like so much value to it. Not everything needs to be online, but they'll also be like, oh, wait a second. Like the bells are going off. Like maybe there's more I can do here.
Mm. It's really fascinating. That sounds like a, you know, what are some of the benefits in terms of building a community? One of the things you said is scalability, right? If you're a coach, one of your goals is to impact more people. This is a great way to scale that impact. Would you say that's a benefit? And what are some other benefits that you would see in terms of creators building a intentional place to connect and belong?
Yeah. So community is scalable to a point, but it doesn't feel scalable at all. It's really hard work. So like people will come and we're both, as an example, we're both a member of Corey Haynes' community for marketers. And Corey is like an amazing executor because he's like living and breathing this, which is like when you're starting a community from scratch, it's almost like if you were going camping with your friends and you guys had to start a fire and the only way you could do it is if you had like two rocks and you had to like rub them together to try and like start a fire from scratch. And it would be a pain in the neck. It would take forever. You'd be like, this is nowhere near worth it. But if you get a little flame, all of a sudden that can turn into like a real fire. That fire, I mean, you could burn, you could start a forest fire eventually. From that little spark, but like that spark, getting that, it takes so much work. And so it's not scalable in the beginning. It's a bunch of like one-on-one, like reaching out, making sure, by the way, two things that you need to do in order to like give yourself the best chance of success when you're creating a community from scratch. The first thing is you need to make sure that the right people are in the community. And you can do things like have a really good sales page where, like, you say who it's for, who it's not for, set really clear expectations about what you get, what you don't get. Two of my favorite examples are Pat Flynn. He has a really good page for his community. If you go to smartpassiveincome.com/pro. Monica Lent is another one. She has a community called Blogging for Devs. If you go to bloggingfordevs.com/ I think it's community. You can see like what they've done on their sales pages. I like looking at a lot of these different community sales pages. But number one thing to do is like set really good expectations. Number two thing is to have a really good onboarding experience where you like handhold people as they come in. You make sure they have a really good first impression. You make sure that they have that moment of connection in those first few, like literally the first few minutes that they're in. And so right people have to be in the room. They have to get a really good experience. And you're selling them, even if your community is free, maybe it's application only, maybe it's paid, maybe it's totally open. But no matter what, you're still selling them on the fact that like, this is going to be a valuable place for me to come. And you're like earning the next time that you check in, the next time, every time they check in, like they're earning it.
Can you talk a little bit more about the onboarding? I mean, we are part of Corey Haynes' group. And one of the things I found he did really well is that he asked us to introduce ourselves. And then he started tagging me on stuff that he think I might know about. Is that like what you might have seen, like some of the ones that really use Circle to build out the community? What are things that they're doing really well in terms of that onboarding piece?
So I can tell you about a conversation that we had internally for our own community, something that we're rolling out soon, which is for onboarding, we're having people fill out a questionnaire when they come into the community. And we're like a more product-driven community, right? Because it's for actual Circle customers. Obviously, we eat our own dog food. But our whole goal in the questionnaire is to figure out, like, what are people having trouble with? What do they need help with? How can we, like, elevate their lives, right? So, like, what are the different things that – oh, I think you might have muted.
Oh, no, sorry. I was just repeating myself. You said elevate their lives.
That makes a lot of sense. Because here's the thing. If we can figure out like, okay, this person's having trouble with these things or they're looking for this stuff from the community, what we can then do is we can kind of have this like, almost like this like repertoire, like this like these like arrows in our quiver where it's like, okay, this person needs help with this thing. I'm going to introduce them to that person in the community who's like perfect at this. And oh, by the way, they also are looking to improve at that. And by the way, we have this like expert live Q&A coming up with so-and-so. I think they should attend that. So like, let's send them a calendar invite to make sure that they see that that's happening. Also, we have these like this discussion that happened 2 months ago. Let's let them tell them to use the search feature and go look it up. And then they can go and check out that whole discussion because we went deep into that. And like, so you have like their questions, their problems, and then you route them to solutions where they immediately get value in that first day or two. And that like goes a long way in terms of building trust, like having the dopamine go off for them. And then getting them to just come back and immediately understand like, here's the value I can get here.
Mm. The reason why I was when you said elevate their lives, that's like, oh man, that's such a powerful word. It comes back to like jobs to be done and really figuring out like why do people sign up for a community in the first place? Because it could be many things. It could be belonging. Maybe one of the things they want is like, I just want to feel like I belong somewhere. And the other side is more practical where like I am stuck with something and, you know, I need help with something and you're really directing them there. Is that what you're seeing there where like, why did you sign up? And once we know that, we're going to connect you to that as quickly as possible.
Yeah, that's exactly it. It's giving them the shortest path to solving the problem. And by the way, a lot of people, they might come in. For us specifically, we're a more product-driven community. Like people there to learn how to like better run their communities and use our product, things like that, right? So they might come in though, just wanting to like do some specific thing with our product, like figure out how to like accept the payment or something like that. But then like, it's kind of also our job to be like, I know you're thinking about like payment stuff. And you just mentioned to me that like in your post, you said like, hey, I need help with X, Y, and Z. Well, actually so-and-so, they've run a similar membership. They're a couple steps ahead of you. And they just put out all this stuff about this. You should go check that out. It's like, being more proactive. And even if people don't know how you can help them, like you have to go and kind of like help them without them asking for it. That's like a step further.
That makes a lot of sense. This sounds like a lot of work. I mean, is this the role of a community manager, or is this like what you're doing right now? Like who's that central piece is the I'm going to call it the connector. Like,
yeah,
who should manage that connecting part or role?
There's kind of two versions of this. The first is like a more traditional brand, right? So like if you're a product company, you have a team, certainly you can have a community manager that does that. And actually we're doing that. We're hiring a community manager now. And they'll be responsible for that. But, you know, the majority of folks that are using Circle are not like professional community managers. They're individual creators who are building a community, a place to connect with others around the work that they're putting out, right? And so like you might have like a newsletter, maybe it's free. Like, oh, by the way, there's gonna be like a paid membership that goes with it. And like, we're building a community there. That's just the creator that's doing that. And they're not like necessarily sitting in front of their computer all day doing this stuff, but like, they're thoughtful. Like you get better over time at like recognizing the opportunities to do this kind of stuff. And we talk about it not being scalable. It's not scalable, especially at first, but it becomes more scalable when you do things. So one of my favorite examples is a guy named Tiago Forte and Will Madden, who is their course manager there. They have an amazing course. They are so thoughtful about like getting students to outcomes, but what they do, they have 1,700 people that might go through their course at a time. And so they find the best people in the community and they elevate them, they raise them up, and they empower those people in the community to do some of this stuff and to like make the connections to route people to the appropriate places. And those people that are helping. And by the way, I would even say like you fit into this category in Corey's community, which is like you're one of the more like generous people in there, right? And most people will do it because it's a sense of belonging. And like, that's like literally the whole point of a community. And there's also other things you can do. Like you can give people more permissions, like better access to things. They can be moderators. Like they can, heck, you could, if you wanted to, pay people in your community. Most people are much more incentivized by things like actually just like recognition, but you leverage the people in your community or who are already the high performers. That's what Will does and Tiago does with their community. They have these moderators who are like standout students in their course communities. And they say like, hey, do you want to be one of the mentors for this next group?
It's really fascinating. That does make a lot of sense. Like, yeah, since they're already part of the community, they're more likely to know the inside and outside and really know where the value is. We're talking about scalability, and I think you're right that you talked about that course, 1,700 people, like that makes me anxious when I put something, if I was gonna comment on something. And I think that could be the danger, is like your community gets too large that people are too afraid to comment something. Can you talk a little bit about, is that something you found where like communities get too big, where like, you know, you look at Reddit where, you know, there's certain subreddits where it's too large, and you know, if you say something, people are gonna troll you. And there's smaller communities where it's really active because people kind of know each other. So, you know, is that something you see with the people who are using Circle, where there does get to be a point where it gets too large, where it's harder to manage?
Well, by the way, I feel the same way as far as like Reddit goes. Like, I'm too scared to post on Reddit. I don't want to throw my hat in that ring. But as far as the Circle community, so one thing that's kind of cool is we do get to see all the data for like what is happening inside of the communities that work really well and the ones that don't. And one thing we've noticed is that the typical community on Circle, like, and even like the very best ones, they're like 300 people. Like a lot of them. Certainly we have communities that are tens of thousands of people, but like we have communities that are 20 people, we have communities that are a few hundred people. And I think it's less about the size of the community, and it's more about the two things that I mentioned before, making sure the right people are in the community. There's a good process for that, setting expectations up front. Even if it's free, if it's open, like you can still have a really good like landing page, really explain like what it's for. Then onboarding, and you can be really clear in the onboarding, like, this is how we do things here. Here's how to like properly like post this thing. Here's how like the live Q&As work. And like, by the way, here's like the best way to like ask a proper question and so we can keep the flow going. Like, you can set these expectations.
That makes a lot of sense. I mean, it's fascinating you have all this data and, you know, these are the good stuff. What are some ones that are mistakes that people should avoid in terms of like now the community started, what are some mistakes that you see communities make in terms of like making sure that the engagement is there and people are actually finding value in that space?
So I think if you just use Circle purely as like a, or any, I'm speaking on Circle, but really any community tool, like if you just use it as like a way to like broadcast out content so that people can consume it, like that's not really valuable at all. Some people do use us like that, but it's not how we're meant to be used. And you know, if a community is anything other than like super positive, you're asking for trouble. Like if a community can kind of like have negative, like people in it who are just like negative, people who aren't supportive, like you're done. Like, because that, you need people, kind of going back to what you were saying, you need people to at least feel like secure. Like the community itself, you can have like lively debates and discussions, but like it has to be a respectful, like safe community. And by the way, if you look even at the sales pages that I mentioned before, you'll see like they both like emphasize that a lot, the safe factor and the respect factor. The other thing is like, you know, it's kind of like showing up to practice. Like you just have to show up to practice. Even if you don't feel good, like you have to go, you have to make sure people get good responses early on before. Because by the way, at some point you'll have a healthy, big enough community that like somebody posts, the community responds, they take care of it for you. You don't need to like be responding to everybody. But early on, during like the rub two rocks together phase, you got to rub the rocks together for long enough. They can't quit or else, like, it's just not going to work. So you have to show up and you have to like reply to people really quickly. You have to tag somebody. You have to like reach out and like shoot a DM to so-and-so and be like, hey, by the way, did you just see this post over here? I thought it was super relevant to you. Or like, hey, we're going to do this event in 3 weeks. We have these like four different folks that I could reach out to. I'm going to ask everybody else in the community who I should reach out to. Like, do you have any preference? And like, make them a part of the process of building the community. Do it with them.
When we come back in just a moment, Andy shares his opinion on the future of online communities. Just a quick thanks to our sponsor for this episode, Ahrefs Webmaster Tools. Now, Ahrefs Webmaster Tools help website owners get more traffic from search by improving their website's SEO performance. It does this in three easy ways. First, it scans your website for over 100 common SEO issues that might be hurting its performance in search engines. Second, it gives you actionable insights from your inbound and outbound link profiles. And third, it shows you what keywords your website ranks for and compare how you stack up against competitors in the search results page. Now, I took it for a test drive and I have to say that I'm very impressed with how easy it is to use and how useful the data they provided. It gave me a holistic view of how my website is doing and I got more actionable tips, insights, and strategies to get GrowToday.fm ranking higher in search engines than Google Search Console. Sign up for free by going to growtoday.fm/Ahrefs, that's Ahrefs, or find that link in the description of this show. Signing up is a breeze and it only takes a few clicks to get it set up. Enough about this, let's jump back into my chat with Andy. That's so good. I think you're right. Like, it's not, you know, I have been part of communities where it's become like another form of an email newsletter where people are just posting up this. You're right. It needs to be a two-way conversation. I want to talk and shift gears and talk a little bit about the future of community. I'm guessing, you know, you've started Circle. I'm guessing you have some take on what will community look like in the next few years? Like, will it look differently than what we have now? And, you know, what are those things that will be different and be the same?
Yeah, so I'm going to narrow down the question a little bit just because community itself is such a broad thing. So I'm going to kind of focus on our version of community, which is like creator-focused communities where it's oftentimes like a coach or somebody sharing or teaching something online, or they're building an audience, whatever it is, and they want to have like a membership where they connect people, right? And I think there's kind of like what we saw over the last like 5 years, kind of a shift we're seeing now, and I think that'll perpetuate. So what we've seen in the past, I think, is we've seen people putting out content, gating content, and you could have an online course, you could have a newsletter, you could have like a coaching group, and they've been like siloed out. You'd use a bunch of different tools for those things because you're really gating the content. And then like you'd have like email. I think the shift we're going to see is that, so all these are content first. We're going to see the centralized place where the people get together, and then the content, like the people is the star of the show and the content is just there to support them. So like you might have like your premium podcast feed inside the community next to an online course, next to a like your newsletter that you put out once a month. And the main thing will be everybody connecting with each other. And then the different content pieces would be like, you come almost like a buffet, get what you need, whatever. But instead of being content first, it'll be people first. And there'll be a platform that kind of like owns all of that. The other thing is that I think we're going to start to see people that are just like not willing to go to the big social platforms at all. And we're already seeing that, but like, we're going to see creators start to really understand, and we're already seeing this too, but creators start to really understand, like they have to own the place where their community hangs out. They can't depend on like these big social platforms for a lot of the obvious reasons, but like also too, just because when you own it, you can make it yours. You can have more control. You own the data. It's a more premium feel. You can command higher pricing. You can have the right people. Having really beautiful landing pages, having a clean community experience, like all that kind of stuff. It's hard to do that when you know, hop onto like a Facebook group.
That's really fascinating. I mean, when it comes to Circle, and you're talking about this community being like this hub where people first, I'm guessing like what is going to come for Circle? Like you talked about, you know, being able to do live broadcasts, like video wise. What are things ahead for Circle in terms of like the product? Like what are other things that you're building when you're thinking about that version or that vision for community?
Yeah, so we're thinking about things like what are the interactions that people can have? So like as we think about like just building the product, right? There's all these different features we can build. The first thing we always ask ourselves is like, no matter what can we do to help people get more engagement and connection on the platform? So it's got to be like people first. So like live video is great, but like one thing is like we don't want to just like add a Zoom integration, which is like a very lazy thing to do. Like people would do that. People already are doing that. Or just have like Zoom inside of Circle. We want to be thoughtful, and we want it to like elevate the video experiences that you're used to. We want it to be creator focused, meaning like what kinds of like actual video experiences do creators have with the people in their audience? So like maybe it's things like I'm on my mobile app, I'm on Circle, and I can shoot like a video message through like welcoming a new member, right? And they get it in their like DMs. Maybe it's things like I can charge for events that happen within my community, even for people who are already in. Maybe I can do things like I can do like a live webinar from within my community. Maybe it's picture in picture. It snaps to the side of the screen. I can still be like browsing around the community while I'm consuming some like really interesting like event, or I'm like on a meeting, or I'm on like a group coaching call while I'm also in the community, just like able to like participate and consume in other discussions there, like that kind of stuff. So just being a little bit more thoughtful than like the pure Zoom integration, if that makes sense.
No, that makes a lot of sense. I was just thinking about like, that would be cool. You're surfing around the community and the videos like on the bottom corner.
Yeah.
That would be super, super cool. Just like you're replying to comments and answering questions as it goes. I want to start wrapping up and, you know, just to summarize, if you had one or two pieces of advice to creators right now about building a community, maybe they already have a course and now they're like, oh, I should add this community piece. What would be your one or two pieces of advice? And it could be anything that we've talked about already, mm-hmm. or it could be anything new that you haven't mentioned yet. But like, yeah, what would be those advice that you would give to those creators?
Yeah, I think the biggest piece of advice is probably like two things. One is that you can keep things really small to start. You could totally do like an MVP version of this, and I would recommend it. And the other thing would be to put yourself in the member's shoes. So expanding on both those things. So like before you even get into Circle, what I would do is I'd be like really honest with myself. Okay, if I'm going to have a community, what would I need in here to actually like find it valuable? Like, am I just like creating this because like I like the idea of having a community, or like, do I really understand how I'm going to deliver value to these members? And before I even get into Circle, what I would do is I'd do it the old fashioned way. I'd grab a piece of paper. I'd write down like 10 ideas. Like here are like the no brainer ways that I can deliver value. Okay. So expert Q&As, I can do things like have like accountability partners, like everyone like a weight loss group, right? Everybody posts like a picture of their food every day or like what, just making things up. I could have like 10 of those things. Then I'd go and I'd write down another 10 things. And I have a list now of like 20 different ways I can deliver value. Then I'd probably like write some like memo. I'd put it in like a doc or whatever. Then I'd reach out to like 30 people that could be like potential founding members. Say like, hey, here's what I'm thinking. Here's like what this community is going to be. Like, you want to do this with me? Be super transparent with them. That would be my advice, is do it small. Do it in an unscalable way. And then, by the way, certainly you could use Circle. If you want it, you want to have like a weekly Zoom call, that's totally community. And you could start there too and then see how that goes. And if, you know, after like four sessions, you want to like make it a thing, then sure, like set up like a Circle community or some other tool, but just like step by step, not sexy. I know as marketers too, a lot of us like to do like beautiful landing pages. It's like all funnels and this and that. Like, I'm guilty as anybody of that, but I would still, by the way, Corey did an amazing job. He did kind of what I just described, not the landing pages stuff, just like the really authentic outreach kind of stuff.
Yeah, no, that's totally right. That's how I got into Corey's group and a lot of the stuff you talked about, and we're fanboying on Corey's stuff right now. Like, he pulled us in, he made sure he tagged me in stuff that was relevant that I can add value to. Yeah, that really pulled me in. Yeah, that's really good advice. And just one final thing, where can people find out more about you online? And, you know, if there's creators or marketers listening to this right now, how can people sign up for Circle?
Yeah, I mean, best place to go is just circle.so. There's you can get a trial account, play around. You can see a demo. We do group demos all the time. So you can hop on and we can, you know, jam a little bit on what you're thinking. And that would be best.
And for yourself, is there any place online that you have a blog, LinkedIn or Twitter?
Probably Twitter would be the best place to get in touch. I don't tweet that much, but I spend, I'm probably going to get divorced based on how much time I spend on Twitter. Just consuming information, like talking on DMs with people. So yeah, that'd be a great place to reach out.
Awesome. I will make sure to link that. Well, thank you so much for your time, Andy. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for having me. It was fun.
Well, that's it for this episode. I really, really like my conversation with Andy. He's such a cool dude. And like I said, like, I'm part of a Circle community with Corey Haynes Swipe Files. And it's so great. It's a great experience. If you haven't checked it out, you should definitely check it out. You know, if you're a marketer, go join Corey Haynes Swipe Files. He didn't pay me to say this. I really do get a ton of value from there. But before you go, I just want to remind you again to download all the actionable tips in a one-page PDF from this episode. I call it the Grow Cheat Sheet. Now, seriously, why take notes when you can just steal mine? You can go to growtoday.fm/138 or find that link in the description. I also want to thank the sponsor for this episode again. They help cover the cost of hosting and marketing tools so we can focus on getting amazing experts like Andy on the show. Thanks to Ahrefs Webmaster Tool, find the top keywords you rank for, track new organic keywords, get more in-depth backlink data, and perform a site audit all for free using Ahrefs Webmaster Tool. You can sign up for free today at growtoday.fm/Ahrefs. That's Ahrefs. Or find that link in the description of the show. Please also support me. There's three easy ways. First, you can tell a friend about this. If you found this episode with Andy valuable, send your friends and colleague a Slack. You can email it to them. You can text it to them. You can give them a call. You can send them a DM. Whatever it is, I would really, really appreciate it if you would spread the love. Second, join the Grow Today mailing list. I share all future Grow Cheat Sheets to my subscribers. I also let them know about any updates in my professional and personal life. That includes letting them know about the book I'm writing before anybody else. And I give them a free digital access to it. So if you want to get the cheat sheets and get to know me better, you can join the Grow Today mailing list. And third, leave a review on Apple Podcasts if you found this valuable. And I would really appreciate it if you left a review on Apple Podcasts or iTunes. That's one way where other subscribers can find out more about this show. Well, that's it for this episode. Until the next one, this is your host, Ramley John. Keep safe. And as always, keep on growing.